Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for January 8th, 2008, episode 54. Welcome back, everybody. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm still here, Mr. Joe Bebe.
It is 2008, and we are continuing our string of excellent, world-renowned podcasts on technology in the workplace and at home. When last we left you guys, it was 2007, December, moderately cold, and my PC had just exploded. And we installed Vista on my newly rebuilt PC during the podcast, and had some, I guess, a few weeks now to run it, use it, get used to it, and I was going to share some of my impressions and depressions with it.
All right. That's cool.
First of all, overall, no big drama. I mean, I haven't really had any super complaints about it. Looks a little nicer. Seems to run fine. When you install it, you get a score. It's the Vista Experience score. And I think it's, I've seen scores that are over five. One thing I haven't been able to figure out is, like, what is the highest score ever? You know, I mean, how can I get a high score on Vista? Yeah. But it rated my computer a 4.0, and it kind of breaks it down into different, like, graphics and memory and hard drive and all that kind of stuff. But based on my lowest stuff, which was my graphics card right now, it said, you know, you have a 4, which really is pretty good. And it's behaved pretty well. I mean, it's snappy and it looks nice. So, a few of the things that it did to me, let's see. The motherboard I have, and with the fans, this really isn't a Vista problem per se, but my CPU cooler and the new motherboard that I'm using, the fans, like the fan control.
The smart fan,
it's like it blows harder when it's hot, and then it slows down. So that was not working for this. So I had to buy like a third-party fan controller so that I can manually turn the fans down so to keep it. Because I built that machine to be super quiet, and so that was $19 extra I spent, and it's been fine. Another thing was the sleep mode. So the motherboard chips that I have is not officially supported in Vista, but it will be with Service Pack 1, which I think is right around the corner. Some of the Windows updates that came out today for Vista are kind of the preliminary stuff for SP1.
Okay.
And I downloaded those earlier and installed it, and it was no big deal. But when I do get SP1, hopefully it will repair my sleep mode, because right now, if my machine goes to sleep, it stays asleep. The only way to get it back is to reboot it. So I just have it set to stay on all the time, you know, which is kind of a drag. But
yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to see your electricity bill going up.
Yeah. But so I just kind of shut it down if I know I'm going to be gone for a long time, and just sort of manage it that way. As far as I just activated today, I said, well, I should finally act. I've been holding off activation because, you know, you can just not activate for 30 days. I had like 9 days left. So I said, well, I might as well go ahead and do this today in case there's a problem. I can talk about it on the podcast. So I activated and it was fine. I mean, I know that's always like the kind of the scary moment, like, oh, is it going to let me do it? But it was fine. As far as compatibility, talk to my printer fine. It's talked to my network fine. It's happy with my Xbox 360 because it's Vista Ultimate. It's
what we installed. So you got the nice Media Center.
The Media Center extender. So through my 360, I can do pretty much all the Media Center functions.
Have you messed with that much?
I messed with it a few times, and it's actually pretty slick, I have to say. You know, it runs nice, and, you know, you're on your Xbox, and you're thinking, well, you just go over to that tab and hit that, and the Xbox interface fades away, and the media, pretty much you're in the Media Center interface, and it streams all the pictures, music, whatever from your PC. It doesn't copy any data to the Xbox. So it's pretty good, I would have to say. I limited usability for me because I don't have a lot of movies that are in MPEG 1, MPEG 2, Windows Media video.
It's a pretty robust amount number of things you can play. You know, three.
I have a lot of Xvid. And
yeah. Well, so what I don't understand, they've added all these video playback functionalities to Xbox 360.
Right.
You can play MPEG-4, you can play DivX now.
Right.
Why aren't they adding that to Media Center?
And it may be that there's a way to do it, and I just haven't investigated enough.
Okay, maybe that's it.
So I've been lazy. But so anyway, the short version of that story is that I do think it's fine. I'm looking forward to SP1, which I'm hoping is getting very close. There is a release candidate for SP1 out there that's publicly available for download. And to go along with that, there's also now the release candidate for XP Service Pack 3, which is now publicly available also. Mm-hmm. So feel free to try either one of those. Use at your own risk.
Yeah, try those out and let us know how they work.
Yeah, because I'm not taking the risk on that. But that's my Vista kind of wrap up thing. So
overall, would you say it's a big improvement, a mediocre improvement, worth the money, not worth the money?
Worth the money. That's a rough call. Because I got an OEM version of Vista Ultimate, so it was only like $159 or something like that. I say only.
Right.
But it's a full install. It doesn't require you to pop in a previous version of Windows or anything. It doesn't come with any support. For the Media Center stuff, along with the new snazzy interface, which is just eye candy and doesn't really make any difference, the business networking part of it, you know, because, I mean, Vista Ultimate has the same networking functions as Vista Business. Ultimate has some other bells and whistles that are more just eye candy. I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
How about this then? Would you recommend someone, we've kind of joked previously that you should, you know, roll back to XP because it's, you know, it runs better. Would you say if somebody's buying a new PC, XP or Vista?
If that person is tech savvy, I would say go ahead and give Vista a shot. And if they're not into Macs at all. I mean, if anybody I met right now off the street that said, hey, I got to get a new computer, I would probably tell them to get a Mac Pro laptop just so they can do both. But if it's a PC person and they're savvy, I would say give Vista a shot because it's coming anyway. And if you're in a new computer situation, you may as well go there, in my opinion. Somebody who's not savvy, who's a PC person, I would say probably stick with XP for now. Just because that's the type of person that probably either has kids and is gaming or, you know, just doesn't want to deal with chasing down all the fixes for all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like I downloaded EVE Online, which is a game that I play off and on every once in a blue moon, and it was crashing.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of crashing, and I went to their website, and pretty quick I found, look, we don't support Vista officially yet, but we're working towards it. And it's like, oh, okay. So... And I haven't tried to play really any other games on it, but so I don't know. It's a tough call. For me, I wouldn't have done it if my machine hadn't taken a dive.
Right.
You know, I would never have just said, I'm sick of XP. I just want Vista out of the blue. So I would not be here if A, we're being forced to use it at work pretty soon, and B, my computer blew up. So only those two reasons were enough to get me to... you know, bite the bullet and go to.
Well, I'm glad to hear you haven't been converted.
I'm not a Vista fanboy by any means, but I'm also not a Vista hater because I use it every day. My iTunes is running great. It found my printer fine. It did the Media Center thing with my Xbox, you know, flawlessly.
Has the universal access control, the like, you know, the prompts, have those been bugging you? Did you turn them off? Are they on?
I left it on for probably a good... maybe a week and a half, just because I really wanted to see, well, can I get used to it?
Yeah.
And basically, the answer is no.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and turned it off because, you know, I'm behind a firewall and, you know, I just...
I turned them off on mine after about a week, too. You just get sick of it.
You know, and I mean, it's not... So on my Mac, you have a little of that. You know, if you're changing like something, it's like, okay, put in your root password. Show me that you know what you're doing. But... it was just all the time, and I got to where, well, this is just an unnecessary, and it really wasn't, it was a time thing, you know, like, don't make me click because it's slowing me down.
That's the thing, is it's for stuff that it's like, this isn't even a big deal. Why are you asking me about this?
Right.
So
yeah, I turned it off. But
the big thing I've realized after being on Leopard now for a while, and you know, seeing Vista again when you installed it, and I did actually boot up Vista again recently, though I didn't update any of the patches because I'm probably not going to go back to it again for a long time. But it seems like all the eye candy, and maybe this is just come out, I'm a fanboy, but keep me in check here if I'm way off base. The eye candy that's been added to Leopard,
mm-hmm.
minus, I would say, maybe the translucent top menu thing, I feel like most of the eye candy is actually has a function. So let me explain that a little bit. Like, okay. You've got the quick look thing, which lets you pop up quick view of documents and things without actually opening an application. It has eye candy for that, and that is in itself eye candy. But it's very useful.
Yeah, I would say that's almost at the level of beyond eye candy. You know, it's, I mean, if it's doing something for me.
Right.
You know, like, if you compare that to, say, something like the, what is the thing, the dock, the widget things, the gadgets
mm-hmm.
in Vista. Mm-hmm. I mean, that got turned off the sidebar because yeah. I don't need that. I don't right. want that. So the whole thing where it can flip through the windows in 3D, mm-hmm. I mean, I play with that a little bit, but because I'm a notorious single tasker,
yeah.
then I don't ever use it.
Well, and for me, that thing, I'm a notorious multitasker. Even right now, I have like four applications open and we're doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So, but for me, the like, taking all my windows and putting them in a line,
mm-hmm.
that's making it harder to access them. It's like taking the ability to randomly access all my windows and going back to a serial interface where I can only do one window at a time and I have to cycle through it to find the one I want.
Right.
How is that helping me?
Yeah. One thing I do kind of like is, so in Vista, when you minimize a bunch of web browser windows to mm-hmm. the taskbar,
mm-hmm.
if you mouse over them, it pops up like a little thumbnail of that web page.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good point. That one, I remember that. That is actually a pretty cool thing.
So I like that, even though
I do like that.
You know, I'm crazy about cleaning up things, like mm-hmm. on my DVR and all that kind of stuff. So I tend to like instantly close windows, mm-hmm. even so to the point to where I'm burning myself because I'm keep yeah. closing windows that I'm going to have to reopen again in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Apple does that in the dock, but it's like just an icon. It doesn't make it bigger, so it's not as useful. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree that what I've seen of Leopard, basically just like on your mm-hmm. on your Pro, I think it's most of their stuff had a reason to be there,
right?
Versus, you know, Vista, it kind of feels more like, oh, here's the new Aero Glass thing, mm-hmm. and it's just the next flavor. It's the next mm-hmm. icing on the same cake, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I've played around with it, and they have the moving backgrounds, which is extremely distracting. I mean, that lasted like 10 seconds with me.
Mm-hmm.
And all kinds of there's like the dream scene, which is mm-hmm. kind of the more video type background stuff right. and screensavery type things, and all that I just wound up turning off. So
yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing, if like all these bonuses that you get you just end up turning off, what's the point
of upgrading? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, in our job as sysadmin, people kind of expect us to kind of, hey, should I get Vista?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, if nothing else from that perspective, I can say, mm-hmm. well, I have the Ultimate at home, and I can tell you this about Vista.
Yeah, I'm not saying for you it was a bad purchase. I think it was the right thing, especially mm-hmm. since we're going to it at work. But
yeah, I think Microsoft could have done better.
Yeah.
But I don't see a reason for all the mass hatred of it.
Well, so here's what you've missed is all the problems people had. You came into it.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
How many patches did you have to install?
You know, I don't
I know. Remember. I know there's at least 50 patches.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, that's just from Microsoft. Then there's also all the driver updates. Yeah. When it rolled out day one, most of people's hardware had issues,
right?
In one way or another.
And then, I mean, that's true because I installed it a few weeks before SP1 is coming
right.
out.
Yeah,
you know, so they're almost ready to yeah. go with SP1. Yeah. So,
and it's inevitable that we'll go to Vista, you know, mm-hmm. but.
And I'm not a huge gamer with brand new hardware that has trouble with right. drivers and true. All that kind of stuff, because I do less and less with my PC as time mm-hmm. goes on, because, you know, 2 years ago at this time, my PC was everything to me. It was my yeah. music, it was my games, yeah. it was everything. And now my PC is kind of my iTunes/Gmail station, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then all my gaming is happening on my 360 and then the podcast I do on my Mac here.
Mm-hmm.
So really I've kind of diversified where things are happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if Vista sucks, it doesn't hurt me as bad as if I would have done this early on.
See, what I'm hoping is that you're going to just get so frustrated with Vista that you finally just use your Mac for everything.
Nah, I don't
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, man. It's going to happen. Nah. Prediction number one for 2008.
That 24-inch Samsung monitor in there, that makes anything look good.
Yeah, and it'll make your Mac look that much better when you hook it up to it.
I've done that a few times to edit the podcast, but I don't know, man. I think I would like it if it was there all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that now you got, I don't know.
Well, you need a way to quickly have it on there and take it off.
Right. I mean, 5 minutes of cable unscrewing out of the back of it and all that kind of stuff.
You need your KVM on there, and you can throw your keyboard and mouse in there quick. You know, one USB cable and your DVI cable, and you're done. You don't have to screw it in. You just throw it on there, and you're done.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But
so we'll see.
That's for another day.
Yeah. So that's Vista, my experience with it.
So you want to, so it's a new year.
It is.
Right?
It is.
It is now 2008, suckas, and you're still here listening to us.
Right.
So that means, I don't know, but we did have some predictions from last year.
Yes.
So I think we should go back and revisit those quickly.
Right. We'll see how much we failed.
Yeah. So I'll get started. I had a lot of predictions. I don't know what I was thinking.
You were crazy.
I was being an idiot.
You were like Karnak.
I was like, argh. So first one, my first prediction was that wireless was going to explode and we were all going to be using wireless for everything. And by wireless, I was meaning like cell phone broadband type thing. And that pretty much has not happened. The only thing, I mean, it's incrementally grown, but mm-hmm. nothing like I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So I consider that a failure.
Well, iPhone kind of took us in that direction.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one device.
Yeah, I know.
And there's some other things I'm going to use iPhone for, so I can't use it for that one.
Okay.
Number two, Zune 2.0, firmware update that would allow downloads on the go and transfers from 360 and a lot of other cool features that's going to make the Zune a lot better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
This sort of happened. They did release a firmware update and the second version of the Zune.
Which did sell a lot better.
And it did sell a lot better. They don't allow downloads on the go, though Apple is doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And you still can't transfer stuff from your 360, which I still don't know why they're not doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that Zune is about to launch in Canada.
Yes, I think that's true. But the Zune is doing better. My prediction was I consider that a half success.
Okay.
So that's, yeah. Number three, Microsoft sues Red Hat Linux. This did not happen at all. no, that's just, we'll just move on. Next is Apple is going to outsell Dell and HP in notebook sales. That didn't happen. What did happen, though, is that Apple moved from, I think they were in number 5, to number 3.
Which is significant.
Which is, they're chasing HP and Dell.
Right.
So
I think if
well,
you look at certain markets, that is true. Like, if you just look at new college students,
mm-hmm. probably. Like, if you looked at notebooks from the price of, like, $1,000 and up, I bet Apple is doing extremely well.
Yeah.
But either way, pretty good, but not quite. And then when we were doing our predictions, the Apple TV had not come out yet. It was still considered the iTV. We were waiting for Macworld. So I said the iTV will have a hard drive, which it did. We'll have a keyboard and mouse, which it did not. We'll have a web browser, which it did not. And it will have iPod games, which it does not.
Yeah.
But I'm going to consider this a half successful prediction because through hacks, most of that came true.
We added it ourselves.
And Apple let them. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, almost official support.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It's a stretch, but I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
See, now we're on, what, number 6? Leopard will be a big disappointment. How could it be better than Vista, I said. How can they improve on Vista? Wow, was I wrong there.
Yeah.
This was before I'd had hands on Vista. This was when Vista was still, you know, glorious, and it's gone downhill and then come back up, as we've heard previously. But
yeah,
I did predict that Leopard would have a black interface, which it does. It has kind of the grayscale interface. Other than that, that was pretty much wrong. So,
well, they didn't let anything out of the bag, so mm-hmm. we didn't know where they were going to go with it. I mean, Vista, they leaked little bits and pieces of what mm-hmm. it looked like, and so we had a much better feeling of you know, this. And plus mm-hmm. Tiger, I mean, Tiger was so good, you know.
Right.
And I mean, it's like, well, where can they take it that's better than what they have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but honestly, they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I bought it the day it came out because I was so excited about it. So. Right.
So I think we were like putting the Windows impression of how could Vista be better than XP?
Right.
We were trying to like smash that onto mm-hmm. the Apple OS thing, and mm-hmm. that was probably wrong.
Yeah. So that was a big failure, but in a good way, I would say.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got three more, if you can believe it. Let's see. Google will integrate all its apps into some sort of amazing conglomerate, which didn't happen, but they did unify their apps a little bit, gave you some shared space that you can expand. You know, it's easy to go between different apps because they have the little menu on the top now. So mm-hmm. they kind of went there, but again, it was incremental more than the amazing thing I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Then Google, I said, was going to take YouTube to the next level with full-length movies and TV shows and a total revamp of the interface. That didn't happen at all.
Well, we have ads.
What was I smoking at that time? They added ads. They made it worse.
Yeah.
They did. We did also, as part of that, which is kind of the last prediction, say that Google Video will be dead in 6 months, which did happen.
Yeah.
But that was an easy one to predict. That's like saying the grass will grow tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's all my predictions. Overall, pretty much a failure, but I did get a couple of the trends right, so I feel pretty good in general about my predictions.
Yeah, I think I just had a few. I said something like Vista will achieve 20% saturation, which...
it did do better than expected, I think.
I think it's sold enough to be 20% saturated, but it got uninstalled or rolled back now.
People went back and bought XP.
So according to the Bill Gates keynote, which we'll talk about CS later in the show, mm-hmm. They said, oh, we sold 100 million copies. It's like, yeah, but how much of that is still,
right?
Installed? So I don't know. I said that the hybrid hard drives with the memory cache on them were going to mm-hmm. be the de facto standard. They're going to be everywhere. Yeah. I still haven't seen any.
Yeah.
So that was like... I don't know where that went.
It seemed like you were going to be right on that one, though. I mean, I agreed with you. I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are going to be the standard.
Well, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And it meshed with the whole Vista model of, mm-hmm. you know, stuff. And
I think part of what happened is the Vista Ready Boost garbage didn't really do what they said it was going to do. It didn't increase performance by very much.
Right.
But anyway, keep going.
So what else did we talk about? We said I mentioned that the television networks were going to revamp their websites.
Yeah, yep.
And we saw quite a bit of that.
I would say that you were spot on with that one. So, because at the time, you know, this was back when you could only watch the like second tier shows mm-hmm. online in full episodes, and you had to buy them on iTunes.
Right. So, I mean, like all the heroes, ABC does it, NBC, mm-hmm. I guess they all kind of...
I think every network does it, and you even have some of the like cable networks doing it, mm-hmm. and then you've got Hulu, which is still in kind of a closed beta, but I've been able to get on that this week, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you showed me that. It looked really good.
It's got...
and that's NBC's stuff?
It's actually a couple networks teamed up.
Mm-hmm.
They dumped a bunch of money into it. It's basically... it's all Flash, but... You can watch full episodes of the entire current season.
Wow.
So
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So good job on that one.
Yeah. And I said, what else? I said Spore was going to be game of the year. Spore is vaporware of the year because it still has not been released. So I don't know.
But I think your predictions were good ones. But I think you said this before. You're going to be able to use some of those again.
Yeah, so all my predictions for 07 are the same as 08. Spore game of the year, 20% Vista saturation, maybe not the hybrid hard drive thing.
Yeah, that may still not happen.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, pretty good. We did all right, though. I mean, that was only episode number 9.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That
was 50-something episodes ago.
Yep. Yeah, so this year... We've got a CES going on right now.
It is. Started Sunday night.
Anything great? I haven't been able to look at as much as I'd hoped because I'm moving into my house. But
I always have mixed feelings about CES because, like, a lot of the gadgets are just, yay, a new smartphone.
Right.
You know, I don't mm-hmm. care. The TVs, yes, hooray, you made 150-inch, you know, flat television. Great, congrats. Mm-hmm. You know, I did watch the Microsoft Bill Gates keynote. I guess that was Sunday night. And if you want to catch it, you can go to Microsoft.com/CES and load the Silverlight browser plugin, if you haven't already done that, and watch his keynote. I tell you what, it's just, maybe I'm spoiled to all the tech video podcasts that I watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because like sometimes you might watch like Techzilla or Totally Rad Show or any of the stuff on Revision 3, and you're thinking, you know, this stuff isn't that great, but it's pretty good. And then you realize that the personalities mm-hmm. and the talent that goes into those is so much better than what could be out there. So I'm watching this keynote by Bill Gates where he has a few of his people come out,
mm-hmm.
and they're all so dry, and they're all so, it's so forced, you know, and it's just,
yeah,
it's not really lame. Lame's not even the word for it. It's just like tired and... I mean, they're talking about brand new things, but they're just not energetic about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they could always roll Ballmer out there to do his jumping and shouting and stuff, and that's just annoying. So.
Right.
And then you got like a keynote from someone like a Steve Jobs, who's, you know, Mr. Slick, you know, who's
yeah.
just oily and, you know, kind of charismatic, but not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's putting one on you and you're mm-hmm. kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know.
So at least it's entertaining to watch, though.
Yeah, so I don't know what the answer is. But I watched this whole thing and they talked about, hooray, Microsoft, we're doing great. We're doing big things. They're going to have, they mentioned Vista had 100 million copies sold. You know, hooray.
Mm-hmm.
But they only... like glossed over it. They just mentioned it and they moved directly on. They didn't talk about, oh, Vista was a huge success or anything.
Right.
So, they just talked about numbers. They talked about how the 360 sold a lot more as far as made a lot more money than like the Wii and the PS3. But, you know, that doesn't really count for the Wii because the Wii is so much cheaper than a 360. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Wii is definitely outselling them.
Yeah. They talked about... MSNBC is going to be like the exclusive digital online presenter of the 2008 Olympics. So they're going to have like over 3,000 hours of video Olympic coverage that you can go on the website and stream. So this is going to be this epic new thing that they're mm-hmm. trying. And we'll see how that goes in the yeah. fall.
I don't really watch the Olympics, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I won't be watching it because I'm on a Mac anyway.
Yeah. He talked about the Ford Sync. The sync yeah. software that's got in Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles where mm-hmm. you can, you know, play the song, whatever, Britney Spears, and it, you know, plays the song.
Right.
So, and they demoed that quickly. They demoed some of their cell phone stuff where, you know, you just shout into your phone, like, call Bill. And, you know, it's like, yeah, so we've already had this kind of stuff. Right. So
what's new?
One thing that was kind of cool is they're on the stage and there's a giant, giant screen behind them. It felt like they were trying to outdo, like, the Apple keynotes
mm-hmm.
or the Apple, like, the Macworld where mm-hmm. Jobs gets up and there's a big screen behind him. Well, this screen was, like, 10 times bigger than that screen. And they're in Vegas, so they flashed up, like, a big... panoramic shot of like a Vegas street
mm-hmm.
and they were showing off this software where you hold up your cell phone and you point it at a building
mm-hmm.
and then as you point it at a building it recognizes that building in 3D
mm-hmm.
and it says, oh, this is this building, here's their hours. It's like a kind of augmented reality mm-hmm. overlay. It's like mm-hmm. here's their hours, here's the show times for the movies tonight in this movie theater. Or if you pan over to a restaurant and hit the button, it shows you, you know, here's some of the menu items and here, your reservations tonight are at 8:00. Would you like to confirm, cancel? And if you go to some other, like back on the movie theater, if you held it there and hit the button, the movie theater actually in 3D would kind of start playing trailers from the movies that were mm-hmm. going on right there. So mm-hmm. it was pretty cool, but it's all stuff that's pretty far off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in the future, we're going to give you this, but, mm-hmm. you know, nothing is just around the corner. They talked about, and that plays into some of the Windows Mobile,
mm-hmm.
you know, OS stuff. And,
well, they got to show how much better they are than the iPhone.
Yeah.
Did they talk about Surface at all?
The table thing? Surface was the other big thing that they talked about, and natural interfaces and how this was going to change a lot. That was something that they,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that was pretty much technology they just bought, right?
I think so,
yeah. I mean, so they did talk about that for quite a while and how, oh, this is going to change, you know, a lot about how we use computers and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But, you know, it was weird. It didn't feel really like, I mean, Gates always makes the point that it's about the software, you know, software is taking us places.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just weird. I'm like, I'm looking at a cell phone and I'm looking at a car on the stage and I'm looking at, you know, this Surface screen, and it was just sort of weird. It's like, I'm not really looking at Microsoft. It's like they're getting into like the software slash services sector. And I don't know. I just came away feeling like that was an okay presentation, but I don't know where this company's going anymore. So
I don't think they do either.
Yeah, they're so huge now that it was weird.
Although I guess you could say that about Google. I mean, they're going all these different places. Although it still feels a little directed because it's all always about ads and getting ads in your face. But yeah, I don't know. And that's his final keynote, right?
Right. So like, mid-year, I think.
See you later.
Mid-year, I think he leaves it to some other folks. So yeah, right at the end, him and the other guy had like a rock band showdown with each other. Mm-hmm. And the other guy brought out this girl who's like the top scorer, something like that, for rock band. And then Bill Gates brought out like Slash from Guns N' Roses to play the same song on an actual guitar. So he won, of course. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Huh. See, so it is pretty amazing what they've done with the 360, though. I mean, that was a market they hadn't been in at all. And here, what, 2001 the first one came out?
Oh, I don't know when it started.
Something like that.
It was much sooner than 01, though, right? That's like 6 years ago.
No, it wasn't the original Xbox. It was after 2000.
Oh, so you're talking about the first... You're talking about Xbox One.
Yeah. When they came to the market for the very first time with the console.
Yeah.
And 7 years later, they're sort of dominating.
Yeah. This was really the Christmas of the 360.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like all the super titles and, you know, Wii was big too. But I mean, as far as... If you're only looking at like PS3 versus 360, this was Microsoft's year on that.
I think the Wii outsold everybody else. But I'm going to say this. Here's my other prediction for next year. The Wii will fail. End of 2009, the Wii will be slipping.
If they don't start getting some games out, then yeah, big time.
Yep. Well, people aren't buying any. So most of the people that buy it, they're buying it for Wii Sports. They're buying it for the stuff they see in the commercials. And it's like they're buying it for that thing, and then once they're done with it, they don't want to buy any other games.
Right. Well, they just really don't have the outside developers helping them have a lot of good titles right now.
Which Nintendo has always been notorious for not having good third-party stuff. But
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
I think next year might be... So my prediction is going to be next Christmas will be maybe the Christmas of the PS3.
I think you're right.
Because they're starting to get some good titles.
They're finally ramping up. They're finally...
It's getting cheaper. Yeah, Blu-rays.
Home is supposedly going to come out. Blu-ray is dominating.
Yeah.
Which, what was that? You were talking about something with the HD DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. So we had all the news this week in the miscellaneous category of... So Warner Brothers and New Line declared they were going to go to the Blu-ray camp.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the only studios left on HD DVD are Paramount and Universal.
And there's rumors that Paramount's going to be leaving.
Yeah,
I've seen rumors back and forth about it.
I've seen rumors go both ways on that. Mm-hmm. Eventually they're not going to be able to afford to be not on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad, though. I really liked HD DVD. Like, it's got more of the... I don't know, it's cheaper, it's got the name, I like the name better, it's got the more, it has more interactive features.
So one of the Engadget articles was an interview with someone who theorized that even if HD DVD loses out in the movie market, that it still may stick around as a home movie format, like, because Microsoft backs it, you know, and it's on your PC. It's like, okay, well, we're going to use HD DVD to archive data, and, you know, you can burn your home movies to it, and there's always going to be players that probably play both, at least for a while.
Yeah, I guess I don't see how two formats would really work. I mean, because you're going to have your player. You're going to want the movies you make on your computer to be able to play in that player.
Right. But, I mean, who thought DVD plus R would last this long?
Well, right, but DVD plus R and minus R are so similar that they can be all on one device. Yeah. Whereas Blu-ray and HD DVD, there's like one player on the market that has both. And supposedly the licensing agreements don't even allow true full compliance of both.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I disagree with that.
I mean, it's totally... It's about time that Sony won some sort of a format war, because they've lost so many in the past.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm still... Not, I'm still kind of a Sony hater.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Did you see the thing from Belkin Podcast about Belkin Podcast Studio?
No.
This is a little self-contained, they call it a self-contained podcast producer. So, let me show you this picture while I'm telling you about it. You have this little device that you can plug your iPod into.
Okay.
And it has XLR ports. So you can plug your mic right into it, or right. quarter inch ports.
Yeah.
So like your little mic, and it records it directly to your iPod, and you've got all your little controls right there. So you take this thing on the road, and instead of having to take like your computer and a mixer, and you know, you just have these two little things.
So like if I'm on a road trip, we can,
like if you wanted to do an interview,
that
kind of thing is what.
So how many mics can go into it?
I think it's only one. But like for somebody doing, you know, just a little show and they want to get started.
Or if you're taking notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was just kind of cool. It may not be useful, but.
Yeah. That's
worthy. It's a good idea.
That's cooler than a lot of the other gadgets I've seen.
Who knows how much it's going to cost. But.
Yeah. Did you see that that Sony gave up on their DRM?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
So DRM may be pretty much kind of giving up on music stuff.
Yeah, there was a big article on, I think it was on Ars Technica, they were saying, you know, audio DRM, it's dead. Because the big four now have all given it up.
In some way, you know, like, well, they're all kind of selling their wares in different locations now.
Right.
But
you can basically get every major label artist in an MP3 uncompressed, or non-DRM format.
Yeah. So that's good.
I mean, a year ago, we would have never thought that. I would have never predicted that by the end of 2009.
Yeah. So now they're talking
about... Or 2008, I mean.
Oh, they're about to DRM all video. So.
Well, yeah. Video is already completely DRM'd, and it's... Even Apple has been like, yeah, we're taking it out of music, but why would we take it out of video? It's been there from the beginning.
Right.
So who knows where that's going to go.
Yeah.
So GM... has plans to have driverless cars on the road by 2018.
I saw that. And
what do you think about that?
My thought was, great, so now my car can go sit in traffic for me.
Yeah, you can take a nap.
And I can just sleep at home while it pollutes the atmosphere.
No. It's not going to be driving for you. You'll be sitting in the car while it takes you to work.
I don't want that.
Why? Why would you not want that? Imagine you're going to your parents. And you can sit in the back seat and edit a podcast or do whatever.
Oh, man.
So here's why I'm excited about this. Because I just drove 3,000 miles.
Over the holidays. Okay. Yes, I know.
I would love this. And it's not going to be polluting. I mean, they're moving away from pollution. You got fuel cells. You got electric cars coming. Why do you got to be a hater?
See, because my car's all tricked out. And I know if my car's driving itself, it's not going to take that right turn at 40 miles an hour like I do.
Well, right, but you can still drive the car.
So you can pay for an option that you don't use.
It's designed, so the goal is for long trips.
Yeah,
I can see that. Going on highways.
I can see that.
Come on, man.
I think it's great until the first little old lady gets killed by it. And then there's going to be a huge backlash. GM is the devil.
But little old ladies are getting killed every day by cars.
And they're doing the killing too, because they can't see over the steering wheel.
It's gonna save lives.
All right, we'll see.
I don't know.
I'd rather telecommute anyway. Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. You and telecommuting. Telecommuting is dead.
How could it be dead? It was never born.
It tried. Even AT&T. I think we talked about this. AT&T is forcing all of their telecommuting employees to come back to work.
That's just because they're all in India or something.
No.
I tell you what, as soon as we have like the superstorm, you know, where the whole frozen north is like Arctic, you know, new ice age, and no one can go to work, but everyone's internet works. Everybody's like, oh, we need you guys to start telecommuting to like.
How is their internet going to still work when there's icebergs going down like the interstate?
Because you got your wireless that you predicted will be everywhere.
Touche.
Satellite. Trobos. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, so the Comcast had their big thing today. Did you see it?
Did they announce that they're going to fix my freaking cable?
So There was this part in it. I was reading the article and I laughed out loud because there's this part where the guys on Engadget are typing up and they're saying they're trying to convince us that their DVR is great and they're waiting for applause.
It like, would be great.
They literally were like trying to say, and everybody loves our DVR, and they paused to wait for people to clap.
Right. And it was like crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be great if they would push out the TiVo software.
Yeah, they didn't talk about TiVo at all.
Jeez, what morons.
But they did announce 100 megabit connections coming this year.
Yeah, supposedly, with the DOCSIS update. Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
who needs their cable service if you've got 100 megabit internet? You can watch it all on Hulu.
You stream it.
On your websites that you're predicting still.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, all right, if you have that, then you have to pay more.
Yeah. They may do that. So the last thing I saw, this kind of made me laugh too. So there's a new board member at Apple. Did you see this?
No.
Her name is Andrea Jung, and she is the CEO of Avon. The makeup company?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is she good with financials or...
I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
Wow. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
It just seemed like a strange
choice. Kind of odd. But I mean, if she's all business, you know, I mean...
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's like, it's bad. It's just, why the CEO of Avon?
I guess she was in the market for a job and they were
Well,
the
she's still CEO of Avon. She's just on the board at Apple.
That is bizarre.
So here's the other. It's kind of a strange mix on the board at Apple. You've got the former CEO of Intuit. Mm-hmm. You have the CEO of J.Crew, the clothing company, on the board at Apple.
All right.
You have Al Gore, the former vice president. Steve Jobs, of course. This new lady from Avon. You have the chairman and CEO of Genentech. I don't even know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO of Google is on there.
Okay.
And the CEO of Harwinton Capital. Those are the 8 board members.
So all we're missing is like...
So the only guy who's like in tech, I guess, the Genentech guy, and then Steve Jobs.
Wow.
Oh, and Google. Mr. Google. But he's new this year.
Hmm.
It's like a mix of like politicians and fashion and...
Just odd.
Investment.
Then we're going to make the hippest company ever. They're going to form Voltron.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't understand
that. That is bizarre. I didn't realize it was that diverse.
Yeah. You know, I think she's like a really good marketer is part of the reason. But I haven't heard of Avon in years, so she can't be doing that great of a job.
Yeah, but you and I aren't exactly in the makeup yeah. department of Dillard's.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
So any other predictions for the 2009... Other than your
for
three.
9 or for 8?
Well, 8 is over.
We're only a few weeks into 8.
Oh, yeah, you're right. For when 2009 starts, what will have happened?
Yeah, I think we'll be playing Spore, hopefully, finally.
I think Spore will not come out yet. I'm going to predict that.
We'll be watching League of Extraordinary Gentlemen for Curse of the Golden Flower.
Oh, I hope not. So I'm going to my last and final prediction. Apple will finally come out with the desktop that I want. The $1,000 desktop that's not an integrated iMac.
Yeah, atrocity. Maybe. Eventually they're going to make everything but that, and that's like the last thing they have.
Oh, that's what. So this is what it's going to be in Macworld next week. They're going to have the boxes, and they're going to have a grid, and there's going to be a blank segment, like they always do. And they're like, we're missing a product. And here it is.
The Apple toothpick.
The Mac has returned.
Yeah. Well, you saw the thing today about the new 8-core
right.
Pros.
Yeah.
And then the their servers.
I think we could like run all of the U.S. Yeah. on one 8-core Mac.
So next week we'll be talking, I guess, about Macworld.
Yeah.
So and anything.
Hopefully we will be talking about it. Hopefully yeah. we won't be like...
That sucked.
The announcement really was the 8-core Mac from last week.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up our first show of 2008, the ginormous new episode of the year.
45 plus minutes.
That's right, of goodness.
Of angry at me.
Taking up space on your iPod or and or computer.
Because it's 2008, suckers.
That's right, 2008. Because I'm an angry, bitter guy.
That's right.
Feel free to stop by the website at angryadmins.com if you have any comments or want to check out show notes or links to all the great stuff we talked about today. Until next week, my name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
You gotta stay angry!